Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Wednesday. It is the 13th of July, 2011. It is a lovely day in southern Arizona. Where did the monsoon go? Monsoon's taking a brief break for a few days. Beautiful, clear, blue Arizona sky today. I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners. We are heard on KJAA in Globe and KAPR in Douglas. Welcome to all of you in Cochise County, Santa Cruz County, wherever you are in Southern Arizona. The Buckmaster Show, we are always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show there, along with archiving at least the two previous week's programs. And we are live from noon to one. The lineup for today's show includes a lead-off conversation with Dr. and Mrs. Dietmar Gahn. The Gahns will be sharing with us information about their enormously popular and successful Diet of Hope program here in Tucson. At 20 minutes past the hour, we'll talk local politics with Mary DeCamp. Ms. DeCamp is a Green Party candidate for the mayor of Tucson. At the bottom of the hour, we welcome Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham, and then we'll close out the show talking more about nutrition and vitamins with Jack Chalom. He is the Buckmaster Show contributor on nutrition, and he's the author of a new best-selling book titled No More Fatigue. The Buckmaster Show is an interview-driven talk show, but we encourage you to join in the discussion with your comments and questions. Our Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 or outside of the metro area 1-866-725-5460. You can email your questions to bill@buckmastershow.com or submit them via the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And if there's a guest you would like to hear from on our show, please, we'd love to hear from you. Let's begin today. Now, Americans certainly are a fat nation. Americans getting fatter, according to the latest numbers from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. During the latest reporting period, adult obesity rates increased in 16 states. And here's the bad news. They did not decline in any state. It's not like we don't want to lose a few pounds. Most of us do. In fact, over 10,000 pounds were lost by the first 500 patients using something called the Diet of Hope. The architects of the Diet of Hope at the Tucson Heart Group are with us today. Dr. Dietmar Gahn, longtime Tucson cardiologist, and his wife, Elizabeth Gahn, a certified nutritional consultant, join us now on the Buckmaster Show. Elizabeth and Dr. Gahn, thank you both for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Set the stage for us, Dr. Gahn. What is the Diet of Hope? How did this come about?
Well, it has been long in the making by myself and my wife over the last 15 years. Being a cardiologist, I have been frustrated in my 40, 50 years of practice that I tell the patients, you need to lose weight, you need to do this and that, and they come back a few months later and they haven't lost anything, probably gained something. And this was really trying to teach them the recommendations given to us by our medical associations, like the Heart Association, Diabetic Association. They supported, all of them, a program that was started by our government, and that was the what I call the infamous food pyramid.
Which is now the infamous food plate. And Elizabeth, this program, Diet of Hope, varies from this particular food plate or the previous pyramid.
Absolutely. The recommendation of 6 to 11 servings of rice, pasta, and all of that, it has no place on our diet, and we don't believe that it has a place in the, in our diets at all in the U.S.
Where did that come from, Dr. Gahn, the heavy dose of the carbs?
I think it goes back to the early 50s and 60s when the Senate and the nation got concerned about the questionable epidemic of heart disease. And the discoveries at that time was that eating a lot of saturated fat can raise your cholesterol, which was true in some countries, not true in other countries. But that was a driving force trying to conquer heart disease. And on the way, they forgot with their diet recommendation, they created the epidemic of obesity and diabetes, which some scientists predicted some 30 years ago. And as you have the numbers now, the food pyramid was published in 1992. Since then, obesity has doubled in the country, diabetes has doubled, pre-diabetes has quadrupled. So this recommendation does no longer hold, and our diet is an alternate program that does not support a low-fat diet and the high-carbohydrate diet. We're far more, I think, sophisticated nowadays.
Elizabeth Gahn, explain the mechanism for the diet. How does it work? How long is the program? And what is entitled or what's included in the program?
Well, what's included in the program is everyday food. It is a six-week intense program. The patients come in on a weekly basis. We meet with them one-on-one. We believe that that is necessary because each one of us, as we discussed before, Bill, this is not a cookie-cutter program.
Everybody's got a different body shape.
Absolutely. And when someone comes into our office, we check their metabolism. We take into account whether they're male or female, their body size, their height. We take all of that into account. Then we pretty much put a diet, something so that they can follow. As I said, it is a very intense program, but it is something that we believe has brought us a lot of success.
We have the Gahns with us, Dr. Gahn and Elizabeth Gahn. They are the architects of Diet of Hope. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line, and I think we have Robert now ready. And we were just talking, Robert, about everyone has a different body shape, and you've got a question about body mass. Go ahead, Robert. Go ahead, Robert.
I'm here.
What is your question? Well, I'm sorry, but Robert's question, I can read it for you. We did lose him, but I have it in front of me on the screen. And Dr. Gahn, he was talking about body mass restrictions for joint replacement. This person perhaps has had a joint replacement.
Well, I think that depends on the orthopedic physician. There are now physicians that refuse to operate on somebody who weighs more than 250 pounds. There are obstetricians who do not deliver babies in women that weigh more than 300 pounds. It's a minority. But clearly, the more you weight and you have a joint replaced, the more likely that joint will get in trouble again. So we think you first lose some weight and then have your joint done. Makes more sense.
Let's give it a try again. Robert, are you with us?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You can say what you want to about people's shape, but if they're constantly eating food through a window and they're terminally hooked to a straw, I think that in order to get any joint work done on Medicare or Medicaid, that these people should be in their body mass index or no deal. How do your guests feel about that?
Okay. Thank you, Robert, for the call. Again,
well,
Dr. Gahn.
Well, now, taking care of all kinds of patients, that may be a little radical. It sounds good, but if you don't give the people the tool to lose the weight and just send them home and say, go on a low-fat diet, it doesn't work. So, yes, we have referral from orthopedic surgeons now, and it is possible to lose 30, 40, 50 pounds in our program over 6 months to a year and keep it off. And some of those patients don't need replacement anymore of their knee once they lose all the weight. Osteoarthritis is the main cause for knee problems and hip problem, which is a disease related to obesity.
Again, the particulars of the program, Elizabeth, six-week program, visit once a week for kind of how you're doing. And typically, is there a typical weight that people lose over that six-week period, or does it vary dramatically?
Actually, we have some data right now, Bill, and we are seeing that patients can lose between 5 to 15% of their body weight. Before it was 5 to 10, but since we've done our data, it's 5 to 15% of their body weight in 6 weeks. It is an intense program, but we feel that that's what's necessary to meet the needs of this epidemic. And we like to refer to it, this is not a term that we have coined, but it's diabesity. Diabetes goes hand in hand with diabetes. We also treat patients with hypertension, GERD. So it's not just limited to diabetes.
Yeah, because so many people who are obese have that problem where the acid just starts coming right up into
We call it the disease of civilization. And reflux is one of them. Arthritis is another one. Sleep apnea. Hypertension, hypercholesterolemia, all those are diseases there frequently induced by eating too much. I mean, eating too much of what we call simple or refined carbohydrates.
790-2040, 790 if you have a question, 790-2040 for the Gons. Getting back to the program, Elizabeth Gon, the cost of the program, give us a rough idea how this program compares to some of the other weight, whether it's surgery or weight programs.
Well, Bill, our program is $695. One of the reasons that it's so affordable is because we are trying to make sure that we reach all the population that we need to reach. Some insurance companies will pay for the program. They won't pay for weight loss, but they will pay if you have a secondary illness. Now, how does that compare to surgery? Gastric bypass is running $30,000, $40,000. Lap band runs about $15,000. That does not include the $100 per month that it takes to go and get a fill. The ACG diet can run you anywhere between $800 to $3,000. So I believe, Bill, that we're very reasonable.
And I'll tell you, this has really touched a nerve because we were talking before we went on here with the Gons. The Facebook page for this Diet of Hope, what are you at? How many thousand, Elizabeth, now on Facebook?
Well, of course, following all over the world, and we're up about 6,000 people. So this is something that people are really interested in the epidemic of obesity.
I'm going to talk a little bit about your next session, which is coming up. You do these presentations once a month?
Correct, once a month.
And you've got one now Thursday night. That's tomorrow night. From 6 to, say, 7:30, 8 o'clock, please be there maybe a half hour early. This is at the Pima County Medical Society, and it's over on East Farness Drive near Grant and Rosemont.
That is correct. And you can dial 520-696-3438, and they can give you more information.
Dr. Gon, you know, we talk about the obese. I began this interview with the fact that the obesity rate, just there's no end in sight to this. And does a lot of that blame go back to the junk food?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you go to a McDonald's, you just don't have the hamburger. You have the bun, and then you get some French fries, and then you get some milkshake, and you have 1,000 calories, which you can down in 5 minutes. That's not nutrition. The easy availability. Every corner has a little store there. Yeah, you get whatever you want. And we just came back from Germany. They don't have these corner stores. They are still not as obese as we are. And everybody thinks the Italians are skinny, but they're not. The poorer you are, you're heavy weight.
Heavy with the pastas, the carbs.
Because the upper society doesn't eat the pastas anymore. They have learned. So it's the epidemic is directly related to cheap carbohydrates.
Can you give us an idea of what some of the servings typically would look like Elizabeth Gon, on the diet?
Well, a typical woman possibly might be on, a diet that requires 4 to 6 ounces of protein, accompanied by good vegetables. We allow some fruit, but pretty much what's in our program are complex carbohydrates. We believe that those are nice, healthy, and they complement our protein, which of course gives us a lot of satiety or satisfaction.
Are you going to be hungry on this diet?
Well, no. You'd be surprised, Bill. We actually, and people don't believe this,
okay. But
what we believe makes you hungry are the carbohydrates. You've seen that, and I think Dr. Gon can attest to that. that. We talk about after you've eaten a high carbohydrate diet,
right,
you are going to be hungry because insulin is put out and it puts all the food in storage and doesn't feed your cells. So on
you
this
could
diet,
be hungry an hour after eating a bunch
absolutely.
Of carbs, right,
and
Dr. Gunn?
That is, yeah, and inexplainable by the raise in blood sugar, because all carbohydrates eventually end up as sugar in your bloodstream. When your sugar goes up, insulin is released. Insulin stores that sugar away. When the sugar level goes down in your body, you're getting hungry again. But the insulin prevents the access to what you just ate.
Not on our diet, Bill. Yeah. Some people come back and they actually tell us, I am not hungry. This is too much food, believe it or not.
And that's an 800 to 900 calories. Our diet is essentially we give you nutrition and...
Yeah, you get the nutrition. And I want to do a quick caller. Did not want to stick around, but the question was basically was asking about cigarettes and food. Does quitting smoking make you more hungry, Dr. Gunn?
No question. I think most smokers have experienced that. And there may be an explanation for that. Our fat tissue has receptors that let you enter the fat into the cells, and insulin controls that. Cigarettes may actually close down those receptors, and that's why those people are not hungry. That's a theory, but it might well be some truth to it.
We're going to have to run. We've been with the Gunns, Dr. Gunn and Elizabeth Gunn. They are the architects of the Dr. Gunn's Diet of Hope. And the next meeting is tomorrow night, 6 to 7:30, 8 o'clock at the Pima County Medical Society. It's over by Grant and Rosemont in the TMC area. The best way, 696-3438. Or go to your website,
yes.
the Diet of Hope website.
Dietofhope.org.
Dietofhope.org. And we'll probably have this interview. Maybe we can get this interview up on your website as well.
Sounds wonderful.
All right. Thanks so much. Dr. Gunn, Elizabeth, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
We'll talk politics next on The Buckmaster Show.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at MedicineManGallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at MedicineManGallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson. just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
It's 12:25 on the Buckmaster Show. Let's talk politics, Green Party politics. Mary DeCamp is with us. Mary will be facing off against Dave Croteau, the two Green Party candidates. We're actually going to have a primary election. Mary, first of all, good to see you. We interviewed you, many times over on the TV side, and now here you are with me on radio, and you're back in the political fray.
And you've never left the political fray. Thank you so much for your many years of fine service to the community.
Thank you so much, Mary. What separates you and Dave, your opponent, in the primary? Is there some basic issue?
Not a basic issue, but a basic process. I'm running clean elections. Dave thinks that he can do a campaign for under $500.
For under 500?
He signed the 500 threshold, and that's got to take him through the general election should he win the primary. I'm hoping I win the primary, and I'll have clean elections money for the race with the two major parties. And I do think it's an incredible turn of events. For the first time in Tucson's history, the Green Party has two candidates on the primary, and the major parties are struggling to get their candidates onto the ticket.
Two Green Party candidates for the mayor of the city of Tucson. Mary, tell us a little bit about yourself and what your platform is about.
All right. Thank you so much. Basically, I come from very humble roots. I grew up in Nebraska. I've been working at a variety of blue-collar, pink-collar, and white-collar jobs since the age of 14.
Whatever it takes to put food on the table.
Well, yes, and I did grow up with those strong heartland values.
Work ethic.
Solid work ethic. I delight in work. I always have, and I believe that most people share that with me. They want to do meaningful work. They want their jobs to be considered valuable and important.
What's your big issue in this campaign, Mary?
The quality of life for our citizens.
Has it declined substantially?
Overall, across America, it has declined substantially. I grew up a child in the 1960s, and the social contract that I understood as a child was you work hard, you behave yourself ethically and morally, and you'll be rewarded for it. Especially if you go out and you get an education and you prepare yourself, you will succeed in life. And we've pulled the rug out from under our people. We have many out there facing foreclosure. They're facing medical debt. they're anxious and scared and worried about the future for their kids. And I think that I have some shockingly sane solutions.
Give me a real quick one.
Community conservation centers, CCCs. When we had our last depression, we had a program that came in and put people to work. That's what I would like to do, focused on local basic services that are so needed in our community.
Mary DeCamp has been with us. She's the mayoral candidate on the Green Party candidate. There will be a primary, but with her, Mary, facing off with Dave Croteau, we'll have Mary back, and we'll spend a half an hour talking with Mary and Dave. They'll go face-to-face, and that will be coming up. We'll do that in early August, because voting will start pretty soon. We're quickly running out of time. Mary, I wish I had a little more time with you, but we will do it with you and Dave, okay?
All right, I'll take as much time as I can get. An important message to get out.
Thank you so much, Mary DeCamp on the Buckmaster Show, coming up now on 12:30. Stay with us. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. At least 17 people are reported dead in the Indian city of Mumbai after bombs went off nearly simultaneously in three busy neighborhoods in the financial hub of India. Congressional leaders return to the White House in about a half hour for their fourth negotiating session with President Obama in 4 days. Negotiations over cutting spending and raising the government's debt limit. An attorney for former baseball pitcher Roger Clemens is denouncing what he calls a rush to judgment about his client. And Chrysler is recalling more than 240,000 Ram pickup trucks because of a problem in the steering system. On Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of today's trading, the Dow is up about 55 points. More details at srnnews.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pet orthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and Fifth. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastropub.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
It's 12:35. This is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster. 790-2040. If you have a comment for Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham, who is joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, give us a call, 790-2040. This is KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. We're delighted to be here and delighted to have Paul Cunningham with us. Good afternoon, Councilman.
Good afternoon, Bill. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about the potholes and the roads. People are furious about this. I mean, come on. Everybody's got their favorite, I guess, the one they cuss. Maybe it isn't their favorite, but it's the one they certainly cuss at probably the most, either coming or going to work, don't they?
Well, the biggest thing that we have with the pothole situation is that I've actually gone out with the pothole crew on two occasions. I think I'll be going out again soon as well. What I've learned is that the pothole situation has become so unbearable and so overwhelming that we have crews going out, filling a bunch of potholes in one area that they have work orders for. But if they drive even a block down the street, there's more potholes that don't have work orders
they
yet.
Can't they can't even get out of the work shed without hitting a bunch of potholes.
We're in perpetual reaction mode to the point that it's not even cost effective to do it. We need to have some proactive solutions. So we put together this chip seal plan. This will allow us to do some proactive it's not actual resurfacing. It's called a chip seal, where they lay down an emulsion, then they lay down chips, and then they lay down another emulsion over those chips, and it seals up the road and gives you a palpable road for the first years. There are some consequences to it. There's some loose gravel in the area for a few months after, but it's better than this reactive pothole policy
that
we have.
It's kind of the quick fix, isn't it, though? You got to do something. And the council did settle this dispute over fixing potholes by allowing Councilman Steve Kasachek to spend his office budget surplus on pothole repairs in his own ward while finding other funding for street repair citywide. So now, other wards that have leftover money, does that go to potholes, or is it up to each ward?
It's up to each ward. That's the way it should have been.
Did you have a surplus in your ward?
Yes, I had a surplus as well. I think every office had a surplus. Steve did a good job on his budget. I voted with him to let him keep his money. It didn't really make a difference. I think it was all going to end up going into roads for most of the wards anyway. I had already planned on using mine for the chip seal. I thought the chip seal was a better, more proactive approach. It's the first time we're going to have residential proactive street maintenance in 4 years, and I'm proud we were able to put a package like that together.
Was this the unanimous $585,000 from the sale of some land bought with gas, state gas tax money to repair as many as city streets as possible using that chip sealing process?
Yeah, that is correct.
How far will that go, that money, $585,000?
Plus what the wards put in, It should be able to get us halfway to the goal of getting 1 square mile per ward. They have a system of different grid squares that have had failed roads for a certain number of years. They'll start straight away on doing that proactive work. I think it'll get us to at least three areas being done before the end of the fiscal year, perhaps even four. And that's a lot better than we've never had that before. So I think it'd be a good move to make.
Paul Cunningham is with us, Tucson City Councilman. Any comment? Well, we actually had a caller. He did not want to go on the air, but he had a question about the city manager's actions regarding staff salaries. Any reaction to that?
Yeah, they're absolutely ill-timed. We have 4,098 people. Well, if you assume we have exactly 4,100 employees, it fluctuates.
Do you want me to convey that message to Mike Letcher when he sits down at this microphone on our Friday Focus interview? He'll be our guest here.
If you want to let him know that City Councilman Cunningham is very disappointed in his in his decision to do that. I think he already knows. I had that discussion with him.
What, just not the right time for that?
Well, the timing was wrong. You've got to think kind of what the unintended consequences are when you make a decision like that. There's a lot of people who are doing less with more. Everyone's doing less with more. There's a couple people who've taken over entire departments who didn't get increases in pay. So I just didn't think that – we got to do better than that. And I stand by that.
Put your headset on there, Councilman, and let's hear what Jeff has to say. I think Jeff is ready to go. Jeff, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I actually drive professionally here in Tucson every day, every street. My question pertains to these intersection islands that are popping up everywhere in these residential neighborhoods.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I've been told the reason the streets can't be fixed, the potholes I'm talking about, of course, is because there's not enough money. Yet there seems to be enough money to build these islands everywhere.
Yeah, it's
coming up like mushrooms.
It's a really good question, Jeff. It's one that I have wondered about myself, what the deal is with these intersection islands. Let's hear what the councilman says. Thanks for calling, Jeff. Go ahead.
Yeah, and the residential traffic circles, I think, is what they're called.
Okay.
I don't know who pays for them. I don't pay for them. I wouldn't want to pay for them. I'd much rather use that money for chip sealing. I don't know if that was carried over from budgets before. I mean, I haven't been on the council long enough to.
Maybe it's the neighborhood groups that get together.
Sometimes they do that. Neighborhood groups can petition to have traffic circles put in. Sometimes people might use back to basics money. I can let you know that we're not using any of that in Ward 2. I've driven through Ward 2. I've seen a couple of them that were there before I took office, but I don't know of any being built in Ward 2. I think, again, if you ask our transportation director and our city manager, they'll tell you that being able to resurface actual residential streets and research areas on the major arterials, they'll tell you that the money isn't there. And my answer is, and that's not good enough, and we've got to find ways, creative ways, to have proactive road maintenance in Tucson. It's been something that we have kind of put on the back burner for too long, and it's really becoming an issue. It's not just an issue to the quality of life of our citizens. It's not just an issue on actual transit and people needing to get where they need to go. It's an image issue at this point. I mean, people come to Tucson and they go, wow, what's up with your roads? I had somebody who was visiting here for 2 weeks and said, who takes care of your streets here? And so it really needs to be an issue that I'm focusing on, and that's why we've got this chip seal program set up. My goal in Ward 2 is to try to run that tight ship so we get some residential resurfacing in the next year. We've got some issues Broadway east of Wilmot I'd like to see resurfaced, and I've also got Kolb south of Speedway that I'd like to see worked on.
Have you heard any numbers on what it would take to how much money would it require to really do this thing right and really attack the potholes?
Well, we have 6 pothole crews that are doing reactive work ordering. And so what I'd like to see happen is give us a couple extra crews and have one crew be a chip seal crew and have one crew be a a resurfacing crew. And then we'd also have some capital costs associated with that because we'd have to buy more asphalt and we'd have to buy more chips and emulsion. And it would probably be in the $8 or $9 million range, but we'd really be able to start making a dent in proactive maintenance. It would be a situation where we could get maybe, hey, 3-4 grid squares a year and a lot of arterial work done where that maintenance is plus and it looks good.
790-2040, 790-2040. This is the Buckmaster Show. Ward 2 City Councilman Paul Cunningham is with us. If you have a pothole in Ward 2 that you think needs fixing, I'm going to put Councilman on the spot right here because we could call in right now and he will take down the information and maybe he can get a crew out there. Is that possible?
If you're on Golub, help is on the way. And if you're on Green Hills, help is on the way. If you're in the Carib area, we're going to work on that and then also Huntington Park. So hopefully we've got some work orders and the crews are out there. Again, I've gone out with the guys who work that crew in Ward 2 on 2 or 3 occasions, and they're great guys, they're great professionals, and they work real hard for us.
Do you want to say anything about the Kolb Road extension, which is in Ward 2, and there's been controversy about the extension of North Kolb Road. It was given the go-ahead by the City Council, voted 5-1 to approve approve a master plan for Udall Park that included the road. Is that a done deal now, or is there some mitigation that still can be done here?
The only done deal is this, is that is that if the road gets built, and I say if, it won't go through the neighborhood. That's basically why we approved the park plat. I mean, that's the there's no way we're going to let that – if they have to build this thing, it's not going through that neighborhood. The other thing is that they've got another 5,000 issues with regard to getting this extension done. They still have an EPA study that has to be done. They still have to drill pylons into an unmitigated methane landfill. They still have to build a bridge that is going to be way over budget. The RTA has – you know, they're kind of hot and cold. Sometimes they're doing it right. Sometimes we're not on the same side of things. And the bottom line is with this project, regardless of whether or not it the need is, there's a lot of other details in this project that are really complicated. And I don't think that right now it is the best use of RTA's priorities. If they could find other – I mean, obviously we need to work on that Tancredi Sabino Canyon intersection. It's very bottlenecked. There's some backed up traffic. We definitely need to have traffic flowing. I'm not saying that it's a not needed project. What I'm saying is that this particular project really doesn't need to be on the number one priority list of the RTA. There are other things they could be going after. And I think as we move forward, we're going to find there are just so many different variables in this project that are going to stall it. And it could turn into a budgeting black hole. So I worry about those things. I think we'll know more when the EPA reports on the situation.
You're going to have an opponent in the fall, Jennifer Rawson. The Republican will be running against you. Why do you think people should vote for you in the fall? Of course, we'll have you and Jennifer on together when the election gets closer. But what's your campaign going to be about?
I think my campaign's going to be about new leadership for Tucson. I think we brought in someone who loves Tucson. I love Tucson with all my heart. I grew up right in the area where I represent now, and I want to make Tucson the best. I think the other thing is I've been very aggressive in trying to develop the economy. I've been very aggressive in trying to bring a pragmatic approach to government, and I think I've been very, very aggressive in trying to bring Tucson the respect it deserves from the rest of the state, because we are a great city when we want to be, and I think we're all in it together, and if we hold through, we'll do a great job next year.
Yeah, we all like living here, at least most of us. Paul Cunningham, thanks a lot for being with us. Ward 2, Tucson City Councilman, a Democrat, and I hope you have a great afternoon and don't get too many pothole questions back at the office. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay. Paul Cunningham's been with us. We're going to talk nutrition with Jack Chalom. He's next on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service. With 30 projects under construction, including Tancredi Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle, please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tancredi, at the southwest corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tanque Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tanque Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
It's 12:50 on the Buckmaster Show. Today's Buckmaster Show is bookended with information you can use about diet and health. We began the program with the well-known Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and his lovely wife Elizabeth talking about his diet of hope. And now we bring in Jack Chalom, the Buckmaster Show contributor on nutrition. Jack is known as the Nutrition Reporter. He publishes a monthly newsletter under the same name. Based in Tucson, Jack is a personal nutritional coach. He's one of America's most trusted health writers, a member of the American Society for Nutrition. And his best-selling book, his latest book now, is called No More Fatigue, but he's the author of more than 20 books. Jack Chalom, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Good to be back on, Bill.
It's good to hear from Dr. Gahn. He speaks highly of you, by the way.
Well, he's certainly on the right track in terms of diet.
You know, there's so much. I think the headline, the latest headlines have been about sodium in the form of salt. A lot of controversy about sodium right now. What's your take on the impact on blood pressure and heart disease?
Well, we've been told for decades to reduce our salt, sodium chloride intake. And then a couple of studies came out earlier in the year saying, you know, salt doesn't really seem to have any impact on blood pressure or heart disease risk. So, you know, the original thinking was sort of upended. And then this kind of like went 180 degrees again.
Yeah, where did that come? I read that headline and go, what the heck?
Yeah, on Tuesday, one of the AMA's journals, the Archives of Internal Medicine, published a study that really put the two key pieces of the puzzle together. And it's not just high salt intake, but it's low potassium intake. And really what this comes down to in terms of practical advice is all the salt really comes in your food before you even reach for the salt shaker.
So you really don't need to put any salt on
right.
any of your food.
And it's mostly packaged food, fast food, a lot of types of junk food. And the potassium-rich diet really comes from fruits and veggies. So the risk is related to eating too many junk foods and not enough fruits and veggies.
790-2040, 790-2040, kind of doing an emphasis on health this week on the Buckmaster Show. And if you have any questions about nutrition or vitamin supplements, Jack Chalom is the guy to, well, ask the question of. Jack, in your next newsletter, actually it's the current newsletter that will be coming out very soon here, controversy over whether folic acid, which is a B vitamin, increases the risk of or does it protect against colon cancer, both?
This is another situation where the research went 180 degrees and then 180 degrees all over again. And folic acid is a B vitamin that's essential for health. And then a couple of years ago, a researcher and his colleagues published a couple of very speculative articles making the argument that, you know, it's conceivable that folic acid could cause colon cancer. Well, it was very speculative, but that didn't really stop the headlines. And then over the last couple of months, there have been two really good studies that show that folic acid doesn't increase the risk of colon cancer. It actually decreases the risk. And one of the studies was actually done by the American Cancer Society, and that showed that people who ate either high folic acid diets or got a lot of folic acid from their food supplements had a 19% lower risk of colon cancer. A similar study by Harvard University researchers showed a 30% lower risk of colon cancer.
Let's see if we're ready now with Doug. Doug is on the Buckmaster Show live line, called in at 790-2040. Go ahead, Doug. I understand you have a question for Jack Chalm about carbohydrates. Go ahead.
Yes, Jack. I heard Jack say about fruits and vegetables. I was wondering if he would comment about the concerns some people have about the glycemic index type thing if you're eating, you know, different fruits that are like high, I guess, in the glycemic index.
Thank you. Doug, go ahead. Jack?
I think the glycemic index is very hard for most people to follow. And what I steer people toward are high-fiber fruits and veggies. And in terms of fruits, really this is almost anything except bananas and pears. I tend to favor berries and kiwi fruit, which have that sweetness but a lot of fiber to buffer the body's absorption of sugars. And in terms of vegetables, really anything except potato will have a relatively low glycemic index and basically be high in fiber and good for you.
You know, for a while, I took the banana off the diet out of my putting it on the oatmeal in the morning. Now I'm kind of gradually going back to it. Best to keep the banana off the oatmeal in the morning?
Well, it's only an issue if you're overweight or pre-diabetes or have type 2 diabetes. If you're in good health, normal weight, don't worry about it. Enjoy the banana.
You know, Jack, we were talking with Dr. Gahn earlier in the program, and one of your areas of expertise, the book you wrote about Syndrome X, mm-hmm. and this really explosion of pre-diabetes and diabetes all over the world.
Yeah, we estimate about 100 million people in the United States
Huge.
With some form of pre-diabetes. And this is really the consequence of just eating too much junk food, too much on the run. And you can reverse this easily by focusing on quality proteins, fish, chicken, lean meats, a lot of high-fiber veggies.
You know, we started the program talking about weight loss, so let's talk about cutting calories and losing weight. You've got some information in the Current Nutrition Reporter, your newsletter this month.
Yeah, this was a study on sleep apnea, which actually involves more than just snoring, although snoring is a component. It refers to a complete cessation of breathing while asleep.
That's dangerous.
It is. I mean, it deprives the brain of blood. I mean, and the potential consequences are significant. It increases the risk of heart attack and a lot of other diseases. And some people will have 30 of these episodes an hour when they're sleeping. So it's very scary for the other person sleeping in bed to hear their spouse or significant other stop breathing. Anyway, there was just this study published in which men were initially put on a super low-calorie diet for 7 weeks and then transitioned to more of a weight maintenance diet. And the episodes of no breathing basically were cut in half during the year-long study. And the people also lost a lot of weight, which was good. And having too much weight is really the principal risk factor for sleep apnea.
Only got about 2 minutes to go here before I think we've got one more caller on the line ready to go. Is Russ on the line ready to go? Or no, we're not going to take Russ's call. Prenatal vitamins and autism risk.
Oh, you know, there's such an ongoing controversy about autism and what causes it, whether it's mercury in vaccinations or other environmental factors. And this was an interesting study just published that looked at the mother's habits when they were pregnant.
Well, let's see if we can take now Russ's call, Jack Chalm. We're going to go to Russ. Go ahead, Russ.
Yes, I'm curious about the water softener where you're using salt versus potassium and how that has, or if the amounts have any effect on your health through that system.
Thank you. We're going to have to go real quickly. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about that. I tend to dislike water softeners because the minerals in hard water are much better for your heart, and those minerals are primarily calcium and magnesium. So I think we're doing ourselves a disservice when we soften our water.
Jack Chalm, known as the Nutrition Reporter, he appears once a month here on the Buckmaster Show. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Thank you, Jack. Have a great afternoon, everybody. See you tomorrow on the Thursday edition at noon on KVOI of the Buckmaster Show.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.